You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Today, we have a special show with a very special guest. Let's see if you can guess who is joining us. This man spent 44 years in commercial radio, many of those years right here on KTOE. Now he's retired, and he writes a monthly column for the Mankato Magazine and hosts a one-hour program of musical of his choice on KMS Radio each month. Oh, one more hint. He's related to City Mouse founder and Hall of Fame harmonica player. So you might as well spread the word. Who's here in the studio with us
today?
It
is the legendary Pete Steiner, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
And legendary, of course, means you're either dead or, fortunately, in my case, I'm only old. And I'm still here, you know.
Yeah, nobody's young and legendary.
No, that's true. Well, welcome to Surrounded by History,
Well, thanks
Pete.
For asking me, Jessica and Jeff. It's great to be here. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
So today's program is really special. Pete is going to take us back to Mankato's prolific music scene of the 1960s and 70s. So sit back and be surrounded by history. All right, Pete, let's just jump into this. Why was this time so special for music and for Mankato?
Well, you know, it was a time of real ferment in the country, the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement. Vietnam was just bubbling at that time. And then, of course, the real cataclysmic event, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, 1963, and then the nation needed some healing, and all of a sudden this group of mop-haired guys from England comes over, the Beatles, you know, and it kind of was a healing salve, and it just ignited everything, and the Rolling Stones came, and then from the West Coast you had the Beach Boys with the surf sound, and so all of a sudden in Mankato, there are all these, mostly men, but there are a few women, and we'll talk about that, but mostly men, and they're picking up guitars. Now maybe it was that they weren't great athletes, and that's the way they thought they could find women. You know, like in the Barbie movie, you know, that scene with the Kens playing around the campfire thinking they're charming all the Barbies, you know? So they started forming all these bands, then all of a sudden, there was this monster hit out of North Mankato, the Gestures, they were called, Dale Manton, Gus Dewey, and Tom Klugertz, and Bruce Waterston. And their hit song, Run, 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 went to number one in California, I think number one in Chicago. I think it went to 44 nationally. Hmm. And it would have gotten even bigger, Jessica and Jeff, except they were on a little record label called Soma that just couldn't distribute the product fast enough. Mm. And we didn't have downloads or streaming, you know, in 1964. And the only way you could get the product was through a vinyl 45 record, and they ran out of product in a lot of the major markets, and so the single peaked, but they went on Bandstand. They did a national tour. They piled into a Chevy van, four guys and all their equipment, did a national tour. Bruce and Tom Klugertz, who they call Zeith, were driving Corvettes when they were in their teens.
Oh.
Things were going well.
I mean, it was, you know, a real hot time in the old town. And then Dale Manton just kind of decided he wanted to do something a little bit different. He went to the Twin Cities. He became a major player in the Twin Cities commercial jingle scene and advertising scene. He wrote the jingle. Maybe you remember, let's all go to the Dairy Queen. I don't know, but that became a huge, I know you guys are younger than I am, but this was a huge jingle and so singable. And he wrote one for Valley Fair. I mean, and so he really did well, but that left Bruce and Zeith and Gus, you know, looking for other bands. Well, they quickly formed bands. Bobby Drangler was in a lot of bands back then. And Bobby, I think, was the one who called it Music City, Minnesota. or he called it Fat City. But anyway, there was this really vibrant music scene by the late 60s. It was really cooking.
And was there a reason you think it was happening in Mankato? I mean, there's so much excitement around music in Minnesota. Jessica and I have talked about that in the past, too. But even just Mankato had such a hotbed. What was the specific reason?
You know, I think we had really good school music programs that got a lot of kids. You know, some of these guys had played trumpet or drums or other instruments in the school band. It was kind of magical that all these, but it was like a group feel. You know, they all wanted to strap on a guitar and play, and they would recombine. I mean, some of these guys, Pat Riley, went on to become a professor of music up at Bemidji State, and some of them went on to play with symphony orchestras. And Steve Dudash, we might talk about him later. He's currently a session fiddle player in Nashville. I mean, there were a lot of really talented people. And, you know, we will obviously talk about Mary Jane Alm, who still has a very good career going in music.
Well, why don't we just pivot to that? One of the questions that I know that both Jeff and I are curious about is the people and what impact they had, not only in that era, but where they are today type of thing, and how their impact is, because we hear about the gestures and Run, 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 and it's a, you know, it was a hit, but then there has to be others that have come out of that era that still are making music or are also made their own hits.
Well, you mentioned I'm related to a Hall of Fame harmonica player, Billy, and Bob Drangler. And then,
are you related to Bob Drangler?
No.
Okay. I'm like, set the record straight.
Who knows?
Yeah,
but,
who knows? Okay.
And Bobby, of course, is still cooking up deals to this day. But Billy and Bob Drangler and Bill Dennison formed a band called City Mouse. And I think it's like 52 years now down the line. They're still playing. Mm-hmm. Early on, they were writing their own music, and they went to Chicago to RCA Records, and they went in the studio, and the producer said, "You guys are really good. I like your music, good songs and good sound. You know, the only problem is it just sounds a lot like this band that I just signed yesterday." Mm. And that band was Pure Prairie League. So, you know, that answers a question of why people get national fame or don't. Right place, right time, one day late.
Yeah, there's some amazing artists who never make it past the local scene. You wonder why, and it's stuff like that. But again, to Jessica's point, too, how many great, amazing artists are in this area? I mean, you talk about your brother being a Hall of Famer. Steve Murphy was a Hall of Famer. It's crazy. These people are they have such accolades, and they call Mankato home, you know?
You know, a lot of them felt comfortable here, for one thing. You know, we think of Jim McGuire, the great guitar player, can play jazz and rock and classical. I mean, and he can play with the best of them, but I think he just always felt comfortable here. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Udelhoffen was another one, actually from a little generation earlier. He was a fabulous drummer, but he played with Jim McGuire and some of the other bands through the 70s and 80s. And he, at one point, had an offer, as I understand it, for the NBC National Orchestra in New York, but just, you know, felt comfortable in Mankato. It's just weird.
Some of the other bands that we have mentioned, we have listed that were at the exhibit down at the Historical Society, the Shaw Band, Prince and the Poppers, the East Side Ferals, the Murphy Brothers Band, of course, are listed. And it just goes on and on. There's so much great signage and memorabilia down there that you can look at. And these names just stick out like as part of Mankato culture.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about anybody in particular, Jessica?
Well, you hinted about Mary J. Alm.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about her a little bit?
Well, okay, Mary Jane, she appears pretty regularly in the Mankato area. She comes back once or twice or even three times a year and gets huge crowds still. And her music teachers up at Minnesota State Mankato, Ruth Giles and Al Wortman, will show up. Jim McGuire will will show up because she played with Jim McGuire for a while. So she started out kind of wanted to be a solo act, but then a couple of bands picked her up. And she told the story how at, I think she was 18, her dad, she'd come here because her dad got hired as a vice president at MSU. And she was kind of a musical prodigy. And she goes to the basement of the InTown, which is now Minari Spa, I believe. But okay. it was downtown. A musical hotspot back in the 70s. And she steps to the mic and she sings John Prine's Angel from Montgomery. If you know that song, it's, you know, kind of a rugged song about this bitter older woman. And she's 18 years old and she sang it great. She still sings it in her repertoire to this day. A woman in the audience comes up to her and says, "You have no business singing that song. You have not lived enough." And just crushed Mary Jane. Oh. She's 18 years old and she's just trying to do a good performance. And she still remembers that and tells that story to this day. But fortunately, she persisted and went on to a great career. You know, she's done musical shows. She's toured the country. She's toured around the world with Women Who Cook. And she still plays Chanhassen pretty regularly. Wow. She, for a time, City Mouse, which had been an all-male band, said, "Well, what if we get, you know, I hate to say this, but a chick singer?" Because that was the lingo in the, in the 70s.
Right.
You know, it gives us a good focus. And she did that for a while, and then she went off and did her own band. I think Gus Dewey was in that band. Also some members from the great arena rock, almost you would call it, band Judd, who was another one of the bands that everybody thought would make it. But, you know, you get these infighting, you know, somebody says, "Well, I want to go this way. I want to go that way. Well, I don't like that song, or I think I should be featured," you know. And so then they split up and they recombine. And so that's how it goes.
There's a lot in the music world, obviously, that we have no clue about. I mean, between all the arguments of the direction of the band and who thinks they deserve what solo maybe and everything else. It's just so exciting to hear all these bands. I mean, a lot of these guys played together and they just kept doing it, and they made it work every time.
And I thought it was really interesting kind of readings. Well, you had written a newsletter article for the Blue Earth County Historical
Society. People who stop in at the society can pick that up.
Exactly. And so, but reading that, I think for those of us that didn't grow up with this, we're like, but this guy's in this band and he's in this band. And so that idea, because it's just kind of foreign to somebody that's not in music, one musician may play in multiple bands. And depending on what combination of people you have together, that's the name of that particular group. And so that was surprising to me. I'm not aware of that.
Well, we think of Greg Duffy, who helped put that exhibit together that you had at the Historical Society. We're trying to figure who played in the most bands in Mankato. And we came down to the great guitar player Al Bjorke. Gus Dewey may have played in the most bands. Also playing in a lot of the bands was Tom Klugertz, you know, originally with the Gestures.
What about Bob Dringler? The gentleman with the stash, right?
Yes.
Dringler. He had so much information at the presentation as well.
Dringler, played with so many bands. The Bone Band, how many bands did he start and fill in with? Just an amazing entrepreneurial guy. Ron Arsenault still plays in about three or four different bands. City Mouse and Ace in the Hole and the Lost Walleye Orchestra and what else? Anyway, Ronnie has played in so many. I think if you're a really good guitar player, that really helps.
Oh, absolutely. Your talents are needed in all sorts of different places. And a lot of times you can pick up most songs and kind of figure it out as you go, and you join a band randomly too. I could go all day about wanting to learn more about your brother and City Mouse, and like just the fact that they've been on stage for how many years, how many decades?
52 years now. I think it is.
How crazy is that? The things they've seen, the stories they have to tell.
Some of which can't be published.
That's true. That's all for show in general. How about this? We take a quick break. We come back. I want to hear more about some of the venues. Maybe not even venues. Let's start with Backlund's Music Store.
Okay.
So when we come back, we'll do that.
Welcome back to Surrounded by History. We have a very special guest with us today, the legendary, living legendary Pete Steiner is with us. Pete and I got to work on Talk of the Town together for a really long time, and we always went down little history rabbit holes. I have my new rabbit hole guy over here, Jeff Lang, so I'm like squeezed in between two masters of history, which I love. So today with Pete, we are talking about the music scene of Mankato in the 1960s and 70s. And let's talk. So I remember a while back you telling me about this place, Backlands Music. And with the way that you have described it, I could picture it in my mind because I have never seen an interior photograph of it, but I could picture it in my mind. So can you just tell our audience more about this magical place called Backlands Music?
Well, you know, you can get a physical approximation if you go down to Blue Bricks, because it, you know, it was a brick building approximately on that location. Urban renewal rearranged things so badly, but it was a really long space. Long and kind of narrow, so
yeah, I think we figured it out that it is the main
entrance. Blue Bricks,
yeah, the entrance
before they expanded, yeah.
For Blue Bricks, that building itself was Backlands Music.
Yeah.
We found some photos to prove it.
And so, you know, musicians often are on a shoestring, and so they need a new guitar, and where are they going to get it? You know, they don't have credit. Well, will Dad give me the money? Well, so they go down to Backlands, and Dave Boyce says, well, I'll just put it on a revolving credit for you. Dave Boyce was back then, and it's really such a stupid thing, but we had this slogan, don't trust anyone over 30. Yeah, right. Well, that's why I don't trust myself, you know. But Dave Boyce was, you know, well over 30. I don't know exactly how old he was, but he would give credit to the musicians. He would let them come in. Again, we didn't have streaming and no online stuff. So if you wanted to learn a new song, say you wanted to learn Surf and Safari by the Beach Boys, you had to, you know, get a record or wait till the radio came and, you know, try and, you know, if it was a big hit, it'd play often. But the easiest way was to go down and take a 45 RPM vinyl record out of the cases at Backlands and take it into the back room where they had listening rooms, turntables. Anybody know what a turntable?
Yeah.
Well, they're coming back, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But and you'd put it on and play it over and over, you know, let's go surfing now, everybody, you know, and you'd write that down and put it on maybe a legal pad. And then you would put the record back in the stack and Dave wouldn't charge you, you know?
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
He'd... you know, Gus Dewey probably still owes Dave some money. They're both gone now, unfortunately. But, you know, he'd come in, I need a new Telecaster, Dave. Okay, Gus, can you give me $20 down? Gus would give him $20 and put the rest on revolving credit. And I would see some of those revolving credit things because I worked at Backlands for a year back in the 70s. And Gus always owed Dave money because he'd never pay in full. But Dave was beloved by the musicians. They would hang out there. And then when Urban Renewal took Backlands, along with many of the venues, I guess we're going to talk about that in another podcast, some of the places where they would play back then.
Yeah.
When Backlands went down, then there was a new place called the Lost Chord. A lot of people remember Mark Weinstein from the Bedpost. Well, Mark Weinstein, Steve Pearl, and Nikki Dudash. And Nikki, thank goodness, is still with us. The other two are gone. But they formed the Lost Chord, which was a head shop. You know, this was long before you could toke up legally here in Minnesota. You know, a lot of people were doing it, but it was not legal.
No.
But they had these things called bongs that they sold, you know. And nobody could figure out what they were. Well, they're decorative, right?
Yeah,
I'm decorating my apartment. And they had clothing. Nikki... put in some really nice, you know, a lot of tie-dyed clothing and things like that. And then they had bins and bins of records, LPs, vinyl records, some of which I still have at my house today, you know. Or you can take them to Carl at Toontown and sell them for money.
There you go. See, another new place.
Yeah, it's Toontown kind of that place now, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. Lost Chord filled the niche that Toontown
is now taken over.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, we still have we have three music stores in town where you can buy instruments and supplies for instruments.
Oh yeah, plenty of places to still buy those. Yeah.
So,
but the vibe, the closest vibe would be Toontown probably. And you know, the Lost Chord was just a hangout. You'd go in there to just chat or something. And I told the story about Carl Eller and Jim Marshall, two all-time great Vikings who, you know, why were they going into the Lost Chord? Well, they were going to, were they going to buy clothing or?
During Vikings training camp?
They liked everybody in there and were welcome. And they wore man purses back in the day.
Wow.
And nobody made fun of them.
We were going to make fun of Carl.
I know. I can't imagine. Oh my gosh. Well, I think that we could probably talk all day long.
I think we can.
But I think your boss would probably be mad. We've got like time we're supposed to fill. So I think we'll wrap it up here. But I think that we definitely need to have another session with Pete talking about some more things about the music scene and in this era. So it's so remarkable to be able to learn from someone who lived through it that Mankato, North Mankato could, and it still does, support so much local music and musicians.
Can I say one thing? I mean, it's amazing. We're getting a new renaissance today. See, the feeling right now with all the venues, and you're going to hear them on Billy's Steiner Chronicles Friday morning at KTUV.
Awesome.
You know, all the places people are playing, and it's happening again today. It's wonderful.
Back.
It is.
Yeah.
It's so incredible. And music. Music brings people together, and it transcends through generations. It, how many of us have had a song just transport us back to a specific moment in time? So thank you so much for tuning in to today's Surrounded by History, and thank you to our very special guest, Pete Steiner. Until next time, we hope you see and hear the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.